Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards and the Positive Change Podcast Awards. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details or contact us at pr@speakuptalkradio.com. I am Pat Rulo, and right now I'm so happy to share an author with you, Valerie Allen. Valerie is from Alberta, Canada, and has spent the last 35 years working with environmental, population, and animal rights groups, and was awarded the Canadian Volunteer Award for her efforts. She is a proud member of Population Institute Canada, and this experience, along with her many years in the education field, revealed the dire need for her books, Growing Pains, A Planet in Distress, and 8 Billion Reasons Population Matters. And I am happy to share her with you today, so welcome to the network, Val.
Oh, thanks, Pat. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm happy to have this opportunity with you as well. Wow, so much to talk about. I gave just a little brief bio. Maybe before we delve into your book, why did you decide in the first place that you had to write this book?
Well, Pat, for decades, I devoted my life to working with environmental and animal rights groups, only to realize that these efforts were all in vain, as every gang was soon overwhelmed by the pressures of more growth. Every critical world issue I was working on was getting worse instead of better. For example, I'd been working for decades with environment groups to promote a project David Suzuki had initiated to reduce fuel consumption of vehicles in order to reduce climate change. And in fact, over a 30-year period, fuel consumption had been reduced by about half, which many of my generation celebrated as a huge success. But in that same time, the population had doubled, causing the number of cars to double. So actually, we had made no progress at all in the big picture. If environmental groups and governments had been promoting a sustainable population level during that same time, this could have truly been a victory. And this scenario of escalating population undermining our efforts is true of all the critical world issues threatening our planet. We only need to look at the increasing climate crisis and poverty and depletion of resources to see these effects. And this realization changed the direction and focus of my life, and I decided to devote my efforts to population from that time forward. But people often ask me, why should population matter to me personally or any of my immediate family? Well, you may not know that every year as population increases by 80 million people, your cost of food will go up. Your need for ever more expensive and extensive health care will increase. Your taxes will increase. Your air and water will become scarcer and more polluted. And pandemics will increase and become more problematic for you. That made me realize that we desperately needed a comprehensive book to highlight population as the defining issue of the 21st century. In fact, it seems to me that today we should all be enjoying the best life our amazing planet has to offer. With the trillions of dollars that humankind has spent to improve the human condition, develop modern technology, and protect the environment, we should have achieved a utopian lifestyle by now. We should, in fact, be the healthiest, happiest civilization that ever existed. With the noble efforts from trillions of hours of volunteer time, like mine, put towards reducing human suffering and protecting wildlife, we should surely have eliminated poverty and secured safe wildlife habitat and a healthy life support system. Instead, the opposite is true. We have created a world reeling from environmental and social and political and economic turmoil. A world plagued with decision makers in denial of the true root cause of our failures. citizens are exhausted by apathy and hopelessness, and animals disappearing at hundreds of times the normal rate. In the 90s, I took a two-year course at the Institute of Children's Literature that steered my writing in a more serious direction. It made me see life through the eyes of a child again and made me realize that many of the picture book animals I had grown to love were going extinct at an alarming rate. And that was my defining moment. So where did we go wrong? Why is it that so many people have been so misinformed about something as important and urgent as overpopulation? The purpose of this book is to expose the myths and taboos causing the confusion and outline the many practical solutions that point the way to a healthier and happier future. Believe me, I know how easy it is to get depressed when considering the looming implications of human overpopulation. So for those who feel that there is no way out of our global predicament, this book can help people finally understand how simple the way forward to sustainability could be.
Wow. Now, when you first put this book out, were there other books on this topic, or were you kind of the lone wolf out there?
Well, there were a few books. Of course, we all know Paul Ehrlich's book, Population Bomb, but there were others as well, but almost all of them were written by men. Mm. And so this book is a bit unique in that it's written from a woman's perspective. And it's also written for both the lay audience and the education system. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that it's going to be something new that people will want to buy.
Speaking one-on-one to another person, what would you say is the problem?
Well, I think the biggest problem is that population has been excluded from the conversation on almost every critical world issues, including climate change and extinction of species and overconsumption. And so in the 70s, it was sort of the buzzword. And, you know, it's too bad. A lot of things happened, like the Vietnam War and a lot of other reasons, that it just sort of went undercover and no one is talking about it anymore. And so I think that's what really needs to happen, is we need to start including it in the conversation for all of these issues. And, you know, the word family planning used to be the buzzword as well, and no one is talking about that either, which is really sad. And I think that's, you know, one of the solutions that I'm suggesting most of all.
Yeah, let's go there then. Let's talk about what solutions you think are viable or that people can put in place.
I guess, you know, I believe that we all share a common goal, and that's to play a role in making the planet a better place to live for ourselves and future generations and the other critters we share this planet with. I believe that every child and every animal on the planet should have a fair start in life. So two of the most important solutions I recommend are, of course, having fewer children, but also moving towards a plant-based diet. So perhaps we should ask ourselves, what are the consequences if we fail to do our part to address overpopulation? You know, in my lifetime, I have seen world population increase from 2 billion when I was born to an alarming 8 billion today, and I've seen critical world issues increasingly get more worrisome. So I believe that we must stop at 8 billion. That's my call to action. And my dream is to live to see that moment when our population numbers actually start to decrease. Of course, I don't know when that happens because the population counter on my website will stop counting forward and hesitate, and then start to count backwards. And that will be the best moment of my life. And it will truly give me hope for next generation and all the wildlife that's now threatened with extinction.
So what is the feedback when you suggest to people that it's up to you, don't have children or have fewer children? How do people react to that?
Well, there are mixed responses. A lot of people that I've never really thought about the issue, when they're confronted with the population issue, they don't know how to respond. So, unfortunately, many of them resort to name-calling and accusing population activists of racism or eco-fascism. So I think we need to move past this name-calling and get down to a calm, fact-based dialogue. Another problem is that government leaders continue to omit population from their conversation about climate change and poverty and other critical world issues. So a lot of people need to not only educate themselves, but contact their government leaders and insist that population be part of the conversation.
Here's an interesting thought, Valerie, that I've heard from other people, and I don't think we can discount it. You talk about our government leaders. Well, if we're concerned about the planet and climate change, yet we don't see actions from, I guess, what we would consider our leaders. It's almost like a parent yelling at their children saying, don't smoke cigarettes, and the parents are just puffing away cartons and cartons a day. We're not seeing that example from the top when you've got these politicians just flying about all over the place in private jets and, you know, talk about carbon footprints. And then you're asking the individual, don't eat meat or don't use plastic. I can see where there's that disconnect. It's like, I don't think I'm going to make a difference when we've got all these other people doing things that they're telling us not to do, but they're doing it. So you've got that double standard. How do we address that, or how do we come to some kind of reconciliation with that concern?
Well, exactly. And people do tend to argue that the problem isn't population, but overconsumption. And the fact is that we need to deal with both population and consumption at the same time. Instead of making this an either-or decision, it's an and decision. So when people finally realize this, we can start making progress. I mean, there's no doubt that most people, even in, you know, especially in the developed countries, are over-consuming. But then, too, you have to consider that people in colder climates, like in Canada, require more resources, like just to keep warm, for example. They need hats and coats and furnaces and insulated houses. And also the growing season for food in northern or colder countries is much shorter. And, for example, in Canada, there's only 5% of Canada's land is suitable for farming, meaning we need to import much of our food, which is also increasing CO2 emissions. So it's kind of a complicated issue, but you're right. We need to deal with both. The problem is that we're talking about consumption a lot, but population basically is omitted from the conversation.
No, I see what you're saying, that that's a component that's left out of all of the conversations. There's so many facets to it. There's so many tentacles that it's hard to just pull one piece out because everything is so interconnected. I don't know that just having conversations with people saying, hey, here's the problem, don't eat meat or don't have children. I think then you get that whole resentful aspect to it. I just don't know how you would reach people in a way that they would be agreeable, amenable to it, and then take action.
Well, yes, and that's where education comes in to the picture, is because I think that a lot of people, they've heard about these issues, but they don't really understand all the facts about it. And so there are a lot of issues that I think contribute to that. Well, my book, providing plenty of the facts and data needed for people to educate themselves, I think it does so much more than that. Like, it reaches us at an emotional level. inviting us to consider what we're destroying and to mourn the losses we are inflicting upon ourselves and all other life forms. And there are many shocking revelations in the book as well that I think would encourage people and help them understand why it's so important. For example, did you know that it took humanity 200,000 years to reach the first billion people, but just 12 years to add the last billion? In fact, our present population is 8 billion now, compared to the 2 to 3 billion that most experts believe would be a sustainable population level. Also, there are more human babies born each day, about 250,000, than there are individuals left in all the great ape species. In fact, humans and their farm animals now make up 96% of mammalian biomass on Earth. Other mammals make up only 4%. Or having one less child per family will save 60 tons of CO2 emissions a year. That's 25 times the emissions avoided by living car-free. And according to the UN, the greenhouse gas footprint of animal agriculture rivals that of every car, truck, bus, ship, airplane, and rocket ship combined. So I think that these facts would really be encouraging for people to decide that they want to do their part. They want to reduce population so they can reduce climate change and reduce the extinction of species. Anyone that is an animal lover or cares about animals in the wild, I think this would really be encouraging for them.
No, I agree. Your book is obviously a resource that would supply the not only the problems, but the solutions and what folks can do on an individual basis. What kind of feedback have you received?
Things are changing, and it's starting from both directions, from the top down. The United Nations has set out their 17 Sustainable Development Goals, and one of them does address population and says that we really need to make changes within the next 10 years. The other way that this is working is from the grassroots up. And there are now more and more population groups or even wildlife groups like the Center for Sustainable Development and the Center for Biological Diversity. Both of them are working not only on saving wildlife habitat and extinction of species, but they're working on population as well. And so I think that it's starting to take root. It's an issue that is on the curriculum in most schools now. I guess it's up to the teachers whether they want to address that problem or not. But I think that this is the time. Now that we finally hit 8 billion people, I think that's a wake-up call, and it's going to make people realize, hey, you know, this is a bit out of control. You know, another billion being added every 12 years. The planet just can't sustain that many people, and it's affecting all of us individually. It's affecting the cost of our food and the cost of energy. It's causing population stress, and it's causing, of course, the loss of habitat for wildlife and for people, and water wars now. I mean, every country, whether you're developed or just developing countries, are running out of water. And so that's kind of an equalizer. It affects every person. So I think whether you live in Africa or in California, people are suffering from water shortages. In fact, they're saying that the next wars are going to mostly be caused by conflict over water sources. So I think things are starting to change, and it's an issue whose time has come.
And you're taking it a step further, Val, by hosting a podcast. Maybe give us a little peek into that so we could make our audience aware of your podcast as well.
Well, because of, I guess, mostly the milestone of reaching 8 billion people on this one small planet, it's made me an environmentalist and an activist, an educator and author of those two books you mentioned, the last one just released last year, as well as winner of the Canadian Volunteer Award and nominated for the Transformational Canadian Award. And I've been an active member of Population Institute Canada for many years, and more than a little concerned that our population just reached that 8 billion milestone. So these factors have all inspired me to speak out on my Hello World of 8 Billion podcast, and to be here with you today, Pat.
Well, I congratulate you on all of your efforts. I mean, obviously, you are so passionate about this. I hope that people pay attention to you and what you have to say. What's next? Are you working on any other books or any other projects in this vein?
Well, I'm starting to think that my latest book, 8 Billion Reasons Population Matters, could actually hold the power to be a game changer. Because of this book, I've been asked to be co-producer and play the leading role in a documentary film about my life and my books. And the film is almost finished now and will be entered in the Venice Film Festival in Italy in a few weeks. Also, a movie producer in New York is interested in doing a feature movie inspired by my book. And I just had a meeting with him last week, which sounded pretty promising. So I would say that all the years I spent researching and writing this book are finally starting to pay off. You know, Helen Keller once said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision." Well, the overpopulation crisis, to me, is the most urgent problem on the planet and cannot be solved in my lifetime. But I want to spend the rest of my life trying to make a difference. So I intend to continue the protests and petitions, continue the public speaking and letter writing. And I am inviting all of you to join me.
Oh, I love that it's a film and the Venice Film Festival. How exciting is that? You're really doing it.
Well, it is exciting for me. A little scary, too, I have to say.
I would imagine. Yeah, I mean, you don't plan on this when you start off on a project of love and passion. But hey, wherever it takes you, you need to go with it, right?
Well, exactly. And if this endeavor is successful, my dream will come true. And civilization will survive to see the promising future that degrowth mode would trigger. Then we could all start mending the damage done by unchecked population growth. I'm hoping that this podcast will be an eye-opener for everyone and leave them with a new sense of purpose and urgency and respect for the planet and hope for the future. Because clearly, living in a world of 8 billion is a wake-up call for all of us to step up and do our part to protect this jewel of a planet.
Thank you for your passion, and thank you for being a voice for something that means so much. If you like, why don't you just share any and all of your contact information so that those listening to the program today, I'm sure they're going to have more thoughts, more questions, how they can reach out to you, where they can get copies of both of your books.
Yes. Well, my books and a lot of information are available on my website at populationinsync.net. And my book is available at Friesen and Press and Chapters and Amazon and a lot of other stores. And my first book, Growing Pains, is available on my website as well.
All righty. We're speaking with Valerie M. Allen, and her website is populationinsync.net. And I encourage you to reach out to her, get copies of her book, and check out all the work that she's doing to make a difference, and also her podcast as well. So there's a lot of ways that folks can find out more and learn more. That's always the key. I guess education comes first, and then comes change.
Exactly.
Alrighty. Well, any final words before we head out?
I think Jane Goodall said it best. We can't go on like this. We can't push human population growth under the carpet. I would encourage every single conservation organization, every single government organization, to consider the absurdity of unlimited economic development on a planet of finite natural resources. And Jane Goodall is one of my heroes, so I really took that to heart.
Alrighty. Well, I hope our listeners take it to heart too. Valerie Allen, populationinsync.net, 8 Billion Reasons Population Matters. Get a copy of her book today. Val, thank you so much for sharing you and your passion with us today.
Oh, and thank you so much, Pat. I really enjoyed being here.